Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Memory, you, stereo teenage running chemistry set, your phone couldn't care less anymore, go prehistoric jaws.
Hey there everyone, happy Friday, this is Patrick here and you are listening to the Rockin' the Suburbs podcast. I hope you are ready for the weekend. I hope you're going to have a good one. I hope you got some fun plans, and I hope the weather is nice wherever you are. I'll tell you, I am very, very pleased, grateful, and just happy that people are enjoying our series that we've been working on called What Was First, Not What Came First. Thank you, Intern Sam, for keeping me straight. Made up a concept and then started changing the name. It doesn't usually work very well that way. Try not to do that anymore. But gosh, I've gotten so many suggestions for episodes, and when I got the suggestion for the label we're going to cover today, I figured I just had to do it real quick and knock it out and put it up here on a Friday for you folks. So get ready. It's a little bite-sized history lesson from Rockin' the Suburbs. I want to say first, before we go any farther into the label or anything like that, I got to say thank you very much to my friend Mike Snyder. I now have a new pair for me. Let's put it that way. Pair of Beats headphones, and all thanks to Mike for making that happen for me. I really appreciate it, buddy. It's sounding good, feeling great, and my old ones did a lot of good hard duty and have gone to headphone heaven. So rest in power, Green Beats, and welcome, red and black ones. So thank you, Mike, very much, man, for taking care of that and helping me out. And then I want to thank everybody who wrote in and suggested things. And specifically, I want to thank our friend Jimmy Linetti out there in the community, DJ Glover Pair. And I think maybe Mark Neese might have put this on his list. He sent me a really nice list of suggestions. And I'm not sure if this label was on there. I think it might have been. But either way, thanks to those two guys. And today we're going to talk about the first release on Twin Tone Records. How about that? And a double thanks to Jimmy for pointing out the website that Twin Tone maintains. It's really well done. It's got so much history there. This is going to be a breeze for me. I'm really going to enjoy communicating this information to you. And it's going to be simple because of how nicely put together the Twin Tone website is. So if you get a minute, now be careful. Jimmy did warn me about this and it happened. I went down the rabbit hole. I spent a whole bunch of time on this website. But it's Twin Tone Digital. So all one word, TwinToneDigital.com. And go over there and check it out. It's really, really well done. And I want to start here by giving you a little background from a couple of sources. First, I'm going to start by quoting something from the Twin Tone website itself. Twin Tone Records was an independent record label based in Minneapolis, Minnesota, which operated from 1977 until 1998. It was the original home of influential Minnesota bands, The Replacements and Soul Asylum, and was instrumental in helping the Twin Cities music scene achieve national attention in the 1980s. Twin Tone originated in the Minneapolis punk rock scene. The label was begun by Peter Jesperson, music and sports writer Charlie Hallman, and studio owner Paul Stark. And I think we know that Jesperson managed a record store that was pretty influential in Minneapolis. And now I want to turn to an excellent book, The Trouble Boys, The True Story of the Replacements by Bob Mayer. If you like The Replacements, or if you're just interested in the Minneapolis music scene, you got to read this book. It's by far the best book I've ever read on The Replacements, and one of the best ones about Minneapolis. Of course, I know Jimmy and some others, you know, probably were there during this time, and maybe our friend Phil Ingracia too. I know he spent some time riding on the city buses in Minneapolis, so he may remember a lot of these things firsthand. But I really enjoyed reading this book, and back on the old show, got the opportunity to interview Bob Mayer down at Arden Studios in Memphis, and that was a real treat. Where The Replacements recorded. But let me take you back, folks, to the year of 77. I'm going to quote now from Bob's book. Stark, Jesperson, and Hallman began meeting weekly over drinks at the CC Club to hatch plans for the label, which Jesperson suggested naming Twin Tone. And it's actually Twin/Tone, so it's not Twin-Tone. Twin Tone. They drew up a list of local artists they wanted to work with. Twin Tone would feature Curtis A. as its flagship act. "Kurt was the main reason I wanted to get involved in doing a label," said Jesperson, who'd been watching Almstead tear up the Tempo Bar and other local venues for several years. Fingerprints, a band which included two of Jesperson's childhood friends, drummer Kevin Glenn and guitarist Mike Owens, along with singer Mark Throne and bassist Steve Fjellstad, that guy, would also join the roster. Glenn and Owens also moved their recording gear into Stark's Dinky Town Digs, essentially launching Blackberry Way, which would become Twin Tone's in-house studio. In hopes of finding a new band to round out the roster, Twin Tone threw an audition party at Blackberry Way in January of 1978. Half a dozen groups turned up and played, including the one they signed, The Suburbs. The Suburbs were a juxtaposition of high musicianship, in the case of gifted pianist Chan Poling, appealing amateurism. Most of the rest of the band were still learning their instruments, and art school conceptualism. They wore monochromatic suits and played in front of postmodern stage backdrop designed by guitarist Bruce Allen. So there it is, folks. Beautifully told there by Bob, Bob Mayer in the book. And the first record that would be put out is by The Suburbs. It was released on April 17th, 1978 on Twin Tone Records. It had the catalog number TTR7801. It was a 9-song, 7-inch red vinyl EP. How cool is that? That's a great way to start. Produced and recorded by Paul Stark at Blackberry Way Studios, Minneapolis, Minnesota. And without further ado, because, I mean, come on, when I saw the band, when I saw the name of the record, it's The Suburbs by The Suburbs on Rockin' the Suburbs. Without further ado, here's the first track. It is called Memory. All right, there we go. Great stuff. Let's see what we had going there. Hugo Clares on drums and percussion. Bruce B.C. Allen, guitar and vocals. Blaine John Cheney, beat jar vocals, B-E-E-T, like the beats, I guess. Chan Poling, the aforementioned keyboards and vocals. Michael Halliday on the bass guitar. Great stuff. Raw, right in the pocket. You know, The Suburbs... basically built a following playing parties and bars. They played at Jay's Longhorn Bar in Minneapolis, which I know was a key place for a lot of people. This is a funny little anecdote I dug up on the Source of All Human Knowledge. One notable audience member at a suburb show at the Longhorn Bar was Bruce Springsteen, then on tour supporting his album The River, who was so impressed with the band that he nearly joined them on stage for an encore. Too bad he didn't. The band's popularity increased during the early to mid-80s, and during this time, their new wave dance sound, eclectic lyrics, and stage presence gained a following that broke out of the Midwest and reached both coasts. In 1980, Twin Tone released their first full-length LP, In Combo, and the band would go on to release a... about 6, 7, 8 albums here, and they did sign at one point to the majors. They signed Mercury Universal in 1984, but their probably best known record, Love is the Law. They were on Interscope and A&M, and then from there, they've also released a couple things, live things, but they put out, let's see, 1, 2, 3 singles on Twin Tone, a couple of EPs and 2 LPs, In Combo and Credit in Heaven. I want to go back to the Twin Tone website. So great. I'm actually just playing the songs right off the website. They got the whole EP embedded in there. And, of course, a link to where you can buy it, which is what you should do after you listen to it. But why don't we check out another song, this one called Chemistry Set.
We'll be right back.
there, chemistry set. Of course, the new wave and danceable elements, not quite as evident as they would be later on. Definitely heavily reliant there on the punk sound and the raw speediness of that sound. And I'm looking here, folks. The I'd love to have a copy of the single and have one. I might have to get one because they're not, you know, the cost of the first record that was released on Touch and Go. It's not going to cost you $3,000 or $4,000. And what's cool about this, it's got a great sort of collage slash drawing on the front. Very cool, very eye-catching. And then on the back, the Suburbs, and they had a logo. They had like a style right from the very off here. They had a circle in black, a white circle on a black background with five bodies. They look just like the figures you might see on a men's room or something like that, with a line underneath. And that was always their logo, and they had it going. There's a person on the front with a little t-shirt with that logo on it on the front of the EP. Also, you know, the logo is right there on the Twin Tone label, a red, beautiful red vinyl. Very, very nice package considering the first release, man. Talk about getting it right. And of course, when you're dealing with a record store owner, a writer, and a studio owner, you know you're probably going to get this right. And they certainly had great taste and did it right. Now, I'll tell you, right here on Discogs, there are two copies for sale. One is from Germany, so that's going to cost you about $35, $36 total because of the shipping. But there's a copy here from the United States, $30 plus $5 shipping. Open to swapping this one, this guy, the listening person says. So if you have something you want to swap and you want to pick this up, maybe check it out. Looks like there was also a repress done. Not sure exactly how many copies. Let's see. Oh, black vinyl. So these are on black, second or third pressing. So it looks like they did about another 1,000 or 2,500 on black vinyl. And you can pick those. There's four of those for sale for $20. So not quite the original with the red vinyl. But hey, if you're going to pick it up, let's try to pick up the original, can we? Don't buy that before I get to it. looks like a really cool item to have. I have a bunch of records on Twin Tone in my collection. Not only their replacement, Soul Asylum. There's a band called Playhouse that put out a record on Twin Tone that I quite like. There's a band I really like called Agitpop that put out a couple things on Twin Tone. It's great, you know, great label. They had a really good run. Like all labels that were, you know, really influential, it was a scene that gathered behind this label, and Twin Tone kind of became the label for that scene. And that's part of the story of many successful labels that start out that way. And I hope as we document more of what was first that we're going to find out more cool stories like that. But there it is, folks. That's your Friday bite-sized history lesson from Rockin' the Suburbs. And I hope you enjoyed that. And I want to thank again everybody who has chipped in with ideas. Really nice to hear that people are enjoying this. It warms the old heart very, very much. And if you want to make a suggestion, I've got a whole big list I'm going to try to get through here. I'm looking forward to doing so, but get in touch. I'll take as many suggestions as you got. Bring them on, people. There's 365 days in the year. We can do a lot of these, and people seem to really be enjoying them. So send us a message at the email rock@suburbspod.com. You can put what was first in the subject line if you'd like, and that may help it stick out. For intern Matt will catch it no matter which title you use. Also on the socials, man, all of them, @suburbspod. Check it out. And we will be back next week. We've got some exciting stuff coming up. We might start off the week with another one of these because I have a really good one that I'm really itching to learn about. Some of these, I was like, man, maybe I know what that first one is. But some of these, I can't wait myself to do the investigation. So with that said, I will stop talking now and wish you a happy weekend. And right now, we are going to play out with another track from the 9-song EP by the Suburbs, the self-titled EP. We're gonna close with the closing track, Prehistoric Jaws. My name is Patrick Foster. This is the Rockin' the Suburbs podcast, and we will talk to you guys next week.
Their sound is influenced by everyone from the Rolling Stones to Karlheinz Stockhausen.